There used to be a clock over here. They took it out before this year because they don't care how long it goes.
First rabbi who ever answered that clock.
Shusha, about Moed Astra, Moed Verbosai. I thank Rav Billet, Rav Schechter, the entire Tzibur for the opportunity to come and share some thoughts and some Divrei Torah. And with your permission, we'll begin with two programmatic remarks. The content and the substance of the talk will be a shir rather than a hesped. And the reason for that is that the halacha says that even for Talmidei Chachamim, even for the greatest of Talmidei Chachamim, that after Yud Beis Chodesh, one does not deliver eulogies. Even Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who authored, who compiled the Mishnah, who's singularly responsible for the transmission of Torah Sheva'al Peh, the eulogies lasted 12 months, but not beyond that. But a word of elaboration is necessary. Clearly, there's no deadline in terms of our being allowed, not allowed, obligated of learning from Gedolim. We continue to tell stories about the Gedolim throughout the generations, literally from Avraham Avinu down to most recent times. And the stories are a source of Torah. And not only are we allowed to do so, but we're obligated to do so. So where's the line that demarcates between a hesped that one does not engage in, a eulogy that one does not deliver after the 12-month period of Avelus has concluded, as opposed to the ongoing Talmud Torah? So, in theory, there are two considerations, but ultimately, kimaduma, that there's one overriding consideration. The first one, again, which is more theoretical than practical, is that clearly there's a difference. A person can be, we can be learning, we can be talking about chesed, and in that context, we can tell a story or two about one of the Chachmei HaMasorah to help illustrate the point. To help us learn, to help us grasp the point, to help us have a vivid graphic illustration, an example of the point. But clearly, the emphasis is on the Torah, is on the Chesed. Or a person can use Torah concepts to help gain insight into the character of a person. Any Talmud Chacham, so to gain insight into that person, what he represented, how he lived his life, we're going to have to introduce Divrei Torah. But there's a clear difference. In one case, the focus is on the Divrei Torah, and the story is there to help flesh out the Divrei Torah. And in the other instance, the focus is on the person, and the Divrei Torah are there to help to help us conceptualize and frame and understand who the person was. So the former is Talmud Torah. The second, potentially, is more in the line of a hesped, of a eulogy. But the other, and ultimately overriding and decisive consideration, is that a hesped evokes an emotional reaction. When we, let's say we would do our best through whatever sources were available to reconstruct a religious, spiritual biography of one of the giants of our Masorah, Rav Akiva Eiger. And the focus wouldn't be on Divrei Torah, the focus would be on the person, on the individual. It wouldn't evoke an emotional reaction, it would be tremendously inspiring and edifying. It wouldn't evoke an emotional reaction for the simple reason that he's a historical figure. He belongs to history. There's no sense of loss that's being created, that's being accentuated for someone who left this world over 200 years ago. A hesped evokes emotional reaction because the hesped is about someone not from the past, but someone from our present who has been snatched away. And because of that, the same portrait of a figure from history won't be classified as a hesped, and the same amalgam of Divrei Torah and stories of someone who's recently departed will correctly and legitimately be classified as a hesped, because it will have that emotional component. I'm not capable in such proximity to the Yud Beis Chodesh, to the events of the 25th of Cheshvan last year. I'm not capable of talking directly about my brother Zecher Tzadik B'Kodesh Levracha, of integrating directly stories and anecdotes without crossing the line and introducing and injecting that emotional component. So for that reason, tonight's reflections were entitled Lessons in Avodas Hashem, and what we're going to talk about directly in the few minutes that we'll spend together, Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to talk about Divrei Torah. The themes of the Divrei Torah are themes that are appropriate for a Kinnus Torah in conjunction, in commemoration of my brother's first Yotzeit. The feeling within me that dictates it, there's also a Maaseh Rav on which I rely. There's also a precedent. When my father passed away, so shortly after the completion of the year of Avelus, so we had a Hachnasa Sefer Torah in his memory. The Sefer Torah had been written over the course of the year, and the Hachnasa Sefer Torah was within approximately 2 weeks of the completion of the Yud Beis Chodesh. My brother at the time came in from Eretz Yisrael for the Hachnasa Sefer Torah, and gave a very, very beautiful drasha. And in the drasha, there was no explicit reference to our father. And he said at the end of the drasha, it's after Yud Beis Chodesh, it's not a time of hesped, but you'll understand why I chose the themes that I did and why I focused on the points that I did on this occasion. And the same, I hope, will be true for what we discussed together tonight. That's the first programmatic remark. The second programmatic remark is that I come here, and I say this sincerely, not with any flattery, with the utmost respect for the audience, and the way that respect will express itself is that we're going to be talking about concepts which are very, very challenging spiritually, they're very, very ambitious mandates, and we're going to do so without adulteration and without any apologetics. The Rambam opens Hilchos Deos. It's the Some of it is the first source that you have in front of you in the handout, by telling us that people have different characters, different character dispositions. And the Rambam says there are people who naturally are born with a violent temper, are very easily angered. There are people who naturally are at the opposite end of the spectrum. They're very apathetic. There are people who are born, again, the Rambam in Halacha Beis, you don't have that in front of you, makes the point of saying that many of these character traits are innate. Some are acquired, but some are innate. Some of these dispositions are innate. Some people are born with a voracious appetite for physical, material pleasure. And there too, there are some who naturally are at the other end of the spectrum, who naturally have ascetic tendencies. And the Rambam illustrates this variety of types and the wide range and wide divergence and diversity in for many, many character traits. And the Rambam continues. Rambam continues in Halacha Dalet and very famously tells us that what the Torah expects of us is to blend those extremes and therefore end up in the middle. He identifies this middle path with the Torah's mitzvah of Halachta B'drachav, generally translated as Imitatio Dei. But then the Rambam makes clear, and if you'll just take a look, it's the Halacha Zayin, I guess the third excerpt that you have under the letter Aleph in front of you. The Rambam makes clear a very crucial point. He says, "Ketzad yargel odam atzmo b'deos elu ad sheyikavu bo." How does a person train himself or herself that the correct balance, the correct blend, should become ingrained within him or her? Ad sheyikavu deos elu b'nafsha. So the Rambam says, "Yaseh v'yishneh v'yishalesh b'masim she'osa." That a person, just by constant reinforcement, if I'm looking to become a calm person, so then I have to, initially it's going to require tremendous effort to force myself to act calmly, but if I do that again and again and again, so then not only will I be acting calmly, but that calmness, that composure will become ingrained within me. So what emerges here, and this is something which is so remarkable and so central, is that for the Rambam, the Torah's expectation is not simply that we behave in a certain way, but that we cultivate certain basic character traits. And what's more, what the Rambam is telling us is that each one of us has the capacity to affect fundamental change in our core character. That a person has the ability to change his or her very nature. Because the Rambam makes a point of saying, A, that there are many character traits which are innate, and that B, what the Torah expects of us is not just to, if by nature, again, I have a violent temper, and I'm easily angered, so the Torah's expectation of me is not simply that I have to control that temper and that I have to prevent an outburst. I have to do that, but the Torah's expectation is more than that. The Torah's expectation is that I affect fundamental change and that I change myself from being an angry person, from being a person with a violent temper who's easily angered. And there's a transformation, and again, not only that I control the temper, but that I become inwardly a calm person. That's a remarkable thing. So the Rambam is telling us again, that not only that the Torah is telling us that not only, again, can an angry person control his or her anger, but an angry person can become a calm person. That not only can a nervous person control, again, we're talking about normal psychology now, abnormal psychology is a separate schmooze, that not only can a nervous person control that nervousness, but the nervous person can become inwardly serene. That not only can a weak person sort of force himself, herself, to rise to the occasion and show strength of character, but the weak person can become a strong person. Not only can a person who's by nature lazy, not only can that person force himself or herself to act industriously, but the person can become an industrious person. We're capable of affecting fundamental change in who we are and what we are. The Rav used to recount that his paternal grandfather, Reb Chaim, once told the Rav's father, Reb Chaim's son, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, so Reb Chaim's chesed was beyond belief and beyond description. His home functioned as a it was the way Chazal described Avraham Avinu's tent, open on all four sides. It functioned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as a drop-in center, as a youth hostel, as a place for where illegitimate children were left, where people who were homeless moved in. Indescribable, until one has heard actual accounts, unimaginable. The chesed was extraordinary. So Reb Chaim just said, in a few short words, he said to his son, "Don't think that I was born this way. I had to work very hard to become this way." The Rav used to say it even more dramatically, but the drama was not at the expense of accuracy or truth. He used to say that Reb Chaim naturally was a cruel person. He was an achsa. But he affected fundamental change. It's not easy. It's a lifetime. It takes a lifetime of effort. But we need to know that it's possible, because we only aspire and we only set out to do what we know is doable, what we know is realistic. If we're not aware that something, usually we operate with the assumption that, okay, that's who I am. I'm a weak person. That's who I am. And given that, there's only so much I can expect from myself. I'm not a very sensitive person. So given that, there's only so much I can expect for myself. And that's what the Rav Hilchos Deos tells us. It's not the case that the capacity of free will with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed us is so potentially revolutionary and so potentially transformative that a person can take a character trait and be koveh b'nafsho. It becomes ingrained, it becomes entrenched. He affects fundamental change. One idea. If you take a look at the letter Beis here in the sheet in front of you, a Mishnah which we're all familiar with from Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used to say that the Mefarshim point out that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the author of this statement, is described in the Gemara in Sukkah as having had the encyclopedic mastery of every area of Torah. Exoteric, esoteric, every area of Torah, you name it. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a master. So this Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used to say, "Im lamadet Torah harve al tachzik Torah la'atzmocha kilachach notzorta." Don't be self-congratulatory, because you were created for that purpose. Ramchal very famously in the 18th century, fast forwarding, Ramchal in the beginning of his classic Mesilas Yesharim also makes a point of saying that a person is created to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the telos, that's the goal of life. Rabbeinu Yonah says, even though the Mishnah explicitly references only Talmud Torah, the same is true about Kiyama Mitzvahs, the practical mitzvahs. Imasisa mitzvahs harbi al tachzik tova la'atzmacha kilachach notzorta. If a person has fulfilled many mitzvahs, whether interpersonal mitzvahs, ben adam l'chavero, ben adam l'mokom, there's nothing to be self-congratulatory about. That's, a person was created for that purpose. That is the purpose of his life. The excerpt, we're not going to read it now, but if you have a few moments, you'll take a look later, perhaps, in the letter Dalit from the Rambam's introduction to Perush Mishnayos. So the Rambam has, again, the same discussion, what the purpose of our existence is. Sometimes we sort of compartmentalize, and we take our lives as a given, and we see Torah mitzvahs as occupying a place within that life. Sometimes we assign it a smaller space within that life. Sometimes we assign it a larger space within that life. But what Chazal, what the Rishonim, what all our Balei Masorah tell us is not, that is the purpose of life. That's what life is all about. It's not a dimension of life. One's involvement in Avodas Hashem, one's quest to serve Hashem, to come close to Hashem, it's not a dimension of life, a very important dimension of life, a very important aspect of life. No, it is life. That's what life is all about. Everything else is to help us be able to focus on that quest, on that goal, on achieving that purpose. But that is what life is about. Now, it's a challenge, as compelling and obvious as it seems when we sort of step back and reflect. Ramchal says it can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu infused within us such a holy neshama, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us such intellectual gifts just that life should be a joy ride in the amusement park. It doesn't make sense that that's what it's all about. The Rambam in this excerpt from his introduction to his commentary on the Mishnah says, if you compare people, humanity, to the animal kingdom, he says everything else we do, they do also. He says we eat and drink, they eat and drink, we procreate, they procreate, we build houses, they build houses, albeit maybe they build nests and we build bigger houses. But the Maisa, it's not fundamentally different. He says the only thing that's singularly, uniquely human is when we use our intellect to discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then to act on that and to live accordingly. That's what it means to be human, and that's what the purpose and goal of life is. And sometimes, because one of the most real nisyonos, one of the biggest trials and challenges with which we all have to cope, is that we do live in a physical world, and we do have to, we are supposed to make a living, and we are supposed to attend to physical and bodily needs and sustain our health. But we're supposed to do that without losing that clarity of understanding of that there's only one single ultimate goal and purpose and telos. And that is that kilchach no tzarta, whether the kilchach no tzarta is the Talmud Torah, whether the kilchach no tzarta is the kiyum hamitzvahs. The Rambam says everything else a person does is external to who he or she is. Say a person amasses wealth; it's external to who that person is. The person he or she wields a power or clout. It's external to who the person is. The only thing that's intrinsic to who the person is, what registers on the person's soul, so that's something which is intrinsic to the person is. That's what life is. It's not an aspect, it's not a dimension. Not something which should be therefore be compartmentalized. That is what life is, and that's what Ramchal concludes. That's why again the Mishnah, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, again with which we're familiar, says that Olam Hazeh is an antechamber before this world is an antechamber before the world to come. So that means that's what the purpose is. That's what life is about. And it's a challenge, but a challenge that it's crucial that we meet to try to not lose that clarity of understanding. If you take a look on the other side of the page. Again, when we look at the sources, whether it's our Rambam, whether it's our Ramchal, or whatever the source may be, so invariably these sources are reflecting Ma'amar Chazal, but here they're sort of woven together and presented, so we're looking at them in this form. The Rambam writes in the third chapter of Hilchos Deos, he writes as follows: Tzarech Adam sheyechaven libo. A person should direct, should focus. Right, kavana is concentration because it's directed, it's focused. Tzarech Adam sheyechaven libo v'chol ma'asav. A person should direct his mind, his heart, and all his actions leidas Hashem Baruch Hu. Meaning that the natural logical corollary to what we just spoke about, that the purpose of life, the goal of life, is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the natural corollary of that is that if that's the goal and purpose of life, so then there should be this single-minded focus in everything we do. And that's what the Rambam says, Tzarech ha'odom sheyechavin libo v'chol ma'asav kulam leidas Hashem Baruch Hu bilvat. That a person should direct his, her mind and heart and all his, her actions to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yiyeh shifto v'kumo v'divuo hakol u'mazeh hadavah. And everything should be geared and calibrated towards that end. Again, there's a natural logical progression. If that's what life is, If that's what life's about, if that's what's meaningful about life, then that's what we should be focused on. Again, the single-minded intensity doesn't mean that it doesn't manifest itself variously. There can be this single-minded intensity, so at times it means that a person is going to the doctor so that he'll be healthy to be able to continue the Avodas Hashem. And at other times, the person is doing a chesed because that's what the Torah would have him be doing. So the manifestations will be varied, but there's this single underlying, single-minded, if there's a single purpose to life, then there should be a single purposiveness to our actions. The Rambam concludes, he devotes two long halachas to this very, very central idea here in Hilchos Deos, and he concludes, and he says, that v'al inyan zeh tzivul chachamim, we're reading now, about to read the last line in the letter Zion, Va'al inyan zeh tzivul chachamim v'omru v'chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. That everything a person does literally should be for the sake of heaven, in the sense that it's geared towards, it's calibrated towards, it's motivated by, again, either as a preliminary or as an ultimate, a lifetime of Avodas Hashem. What's so remarkable about the way the Rambam cites this Mishnah is, if you'll engage in the following exercise, you'll learn through Pirkei Avos, and you follow up the citations, the cross references to where the Rambam quotes various Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, so you'll find that some of the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, the Rambam quotes, he has a later chapter here in Hilchos Deos, which the Rambam introduces as that there's a higher standard to which a Talmud Chacham has to hold himself. There's a higher standard with which a Talmud Chacham has to comply. The same way he's distinguished in terms of his knowledge, he has to be distinguished in terms of his conduct as well. And some of the Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos, the Rambam quotes in that context. Meaning not everything in Pirkei Avos is addressed to all of us. Some of it is addressed to, again, the special few who have really, really distinguished themselves. So we would have thought, if that's the case, if once you recognize that what's in Pirkei Avos, some of what's in Pirkei Avos is not intended as a universal exhortation, but is intended as an exhortation specifically for the elite chachamim, so I think we would have thought the v'chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim, to live by that standard, so that's for the gedolei hador. That's not talking to me. That's for the gedolei hador. I don't know, maybe having mekabel kol ha'odim b'seiv upon him yofos, to greet people nicely, okay, so I can hear that's a charge given to me that I have to work on implementing. But v'chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim, that's good for the gedolim. Says the Rambam, no. This mission, v'chol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim, is talking to each and every one of us. Again, what those ma'asim will be, what the mix and blend will be between Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim is going to vary. There certainly will be within the Torah, though there will be individuality. There's a very famous comment of the Rambam in his Perish of Mishnayos in the end of Maseches Makos. The end of Maseches Makos is where the famous mission of Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha appears, Avotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Zakos of Yisrael, the Fichuch Hebel Lehem Torah Mitzvot. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bestow merit upon the Jewish people, so because of that, he gave us so many mitzvahs. So the Mephoshim deal with the obvious question, that l'cha'ora, the fewer mitzvahs he gives, so then the less chance there is that we're going to mess up, that we're going to trip up. So what does it mean that Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Zakos Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do us a favor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to increase our merit, so he gives us more mitzvahs. So a lot of very beautiful answers that that our sages throughout the generations have given to this. The Rambam offers the following. This is the Rambam's understanding of the Mishnah. The Rambam says it's miyasadeh hadas. It's a fundamental principle of our belief that in addition to complying with the whole Torah, a person doesn't pick and choose his or her mitzvahs. We comply with all mitzvahs that are relevant, that are binding on us. But in order to merit Olam Haba, a person has to at least, at one point in his life, do one mitzvah entirely lishma, without any ulterior motive. There should be, at one point, there should be one mitzvah that a person does, and there was no ulterior motive, the performance was pure. Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Yisrael, says the Rambam, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us such a variety of mitzvahs that everyone is going to be attuned within that plethora of mitzvahs. Everyone's going to be attuned to a mitzvah that he or she, at some point in their life, will fulfill that mitzvah, again, according to that gold standard of which is needed for to gain entry to Olam Haba. So the Rambam recognizes the individuality. So within the V'chol Masecha Yidu Shem Shemayim, in terms of how it is that given that the entire purpose of life is Avodas Hashem, so that should therefore be the focus of everything we do. Of course there's going to be within Torah, within the legitimate boundaries of Torah, the individuality will be reflected. But that challenge of V'chol Masecha Yidu Shem Shemayim, according to the Rambam, is a challenge which is extended to each and every one of us. And here, the three points that we've been discussing sort of converge. I think one's perhaps initial reaction to hearing that the challenge, the mandate of V'chol Masecha Yidu Shem Shemayim, that everything a person does, everything, that we should aspire, that literally our entire schedule, from the moment we wake up in the morning to the moment we go to sleep at night, including what time we go to sleep at night, that everything should be geared and calibrated towards our Avodas Hashem. So I think one's sort of instinctive reaction to that is, who are you kidding? That's too tall of an order. And here, where I think the first point we were talking about should reverberate, again, there we spoke about it in context of Tikkun HaMidos, in context of effecting fundamental change, is that the thrust of so much of what we're talking about is, do we have an accurate sense of just how much we're really capable of? Or do we underestimate just what our spiritual capacity is? If the mitzvah V'halachta B'drachav says that even though I'm naturally an angry person, the mitzvah is not only to control the anger, but to become a calm person. So that means that the Torah is telling us that we have that capacity. And if the challenge of V'chol Masecha Yidu Shem Shemayim to try to train ourselves gradually, it doesn't happen overnight, there's no quick fix here. This is a lifetime journey, a lifetime quest, a lifetime of work. But the challenge of V'chol Masecha Yidu Shem Shemayim is a challenge extended to each and every one of us. It means that each and every one of us has that capacity for greatness. And we shouldn't make the mistake of identifying how many people there are who have a capacity for greatness by looking at how many people who have realized that capacity and who have achieved greatness. And that we all have tremendous spiritual capacities and potencies and the reservoir of strength to tap. And just to add one final perspective alongside, again, when reflecting upon, again, these very ambitious challenges and mandates. So A, we should be aware of just how much potential we really have. But there's another crucial perspective as well. And that, if you take a look at the last four sources that you have here in the handout, the Chachmei HaMasora are saying it in their own vocabulary, in their own context, but you'll see there's a very clear common denominator. Rabbeinu Yonah writes at the very beginning of Shari Tshuva, he says that the Torah explains that what's beyond a person's in doing tshuva, if there's something which is beyond a person's capacity, as long as a person is doing his or her best, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the rest. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it happen. V'hizboi v'atorah, again, we're looking at letter Ches. V'hizboi v'atorah, it's explained in the Torah, ki yazo Hashem l'shavim. When a person is coming to be a penitent, to do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps, kasher ein yad tivam maseges. When naturally they can't, their best notwithstanding, they can't scale that wall. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, that at that point, yechadish bekirbam ruach tahora lahasig mahalas avoso. And that's what the pasuk means, umol hashem elokecha es levavcha leves levav zarecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will energize them and will infuse within them this spirit of purity that will allow them again to finish their journey of tshuva. The earlier the Chobos HaLevavos had said the same thing at the end of his classic sefer in Shara Avos Hashem. He said the same thing. He said the truth is that lo titochein mikol adam. The truth is that the highest levels of Avos Hashem are not naturally attainable. And when they are attained, it's only because once a person does his best, it's attained by omets habore ve'ezraso. It's attained because, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you'll meet me, I don't know that it's halfway, but wherever along the journey it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you do your best, so then I'll extend the helping hand and elevate you the rest of the way. The Rambam has the same idea. Effectively the same idea. The Rambam comments on the Maimon Chazal in Hilchos Tshuva, it's what you have here in the letter Yud, in front of you, that the Maimon Chazal, again, so well known, that Haboli Toher Messayanosa, that one who comes sincerely wanting to purify himself or herself and is doing his best, so Messayanosa, so he's given assistance. So the Rambam says, what does it mean? So the Rambam says, Mida zo b'chol adam. This quality, again, b'chol adam, this quality exists in every one of us. This is not just something in the genes of an elite aristocratic few. She mida zo b'chol adam. It's true of every one of us. She kol zman shehu nimshach b'darkei ha-chochma v'ha-tzedek. That if a person takes the first steps in pursuit along the pathways of chokhmah, of wisdom, and tzedek, and righteousness, misaver lehen. So then there's something in it which that energizes him and gives him greater ability. V'rodef olsam. V'hu masha amru avosenuzal. And this is what our sages were expressing in when they said Bali Tam Messiah so Klomar Yimtsa Atmo Nezal Hadovan. It's the same idea. Could be that sort of the now is not really the time, but it could be it's sort of the Rambam in the same way that the Rambam thinks HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed miracles into nature. So whereas Rabbeinu Yonah and the Chovos HaLevavos described that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is extending the hand now when we reach our limits to make it happen. So the Rambam describes that that's programmed into nature. that when a person seemingly has done as much as he can, so then he finds that yimtza atzmo nazal adava, then he finds that he has even more strength and more energy and greater capacity to continue. So when we reflect on these again, clearly, very, very ambitious challenges and mandates of affecting fundamental character change, of maintaining a clarity of vision on what life is about, and letting that carry over to its logical corollary of how we should live our lives purposefully. So if we think that it's too much, so there are two perspectives that we need to constantly remember. One is basically the potential gadlus ha'adam, the potential for greatness, midah zo b'chol adam, the potential for greatness which inheres within each and every one of us. And the other thing is, when looking at the task, not to make the mistake of thinking that the expectation is that we're going to be able to accomplish that single-handedly. The expectation is that if we'll work, albeit very hard, and do our best, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the rest happen.